This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
All right. As promised, we are to the Lori Vallow opening statements in the Lori Vallow trial. We just saw the opening from the prosecution, and I got to say, I was very impressed. I didn't know what to expect because most of these hearings with Lori have been about Lori, and the prosecution just has been very, you know, meek. They don't really need to do anything. It's like, we got our case, bitches. And so you didn't really know. I didn't know a whole lot about that attorney, but very good. I was impressed. What was your thoughts?
Yeah, I think she's doing a great job. She laid it out there. Mm-hmm. Really, she doesn't need to do a good job because, the evidence just speaks for itself. But I really think she drove it home.
Yeah, I mean, it's like she's acting like she's going against a real person that has any sort of semblance of reality of how this is going. But I guess that's probably the best approach. It's just let Lori sink herself. Just do your story. Don't even, I wonder how much you're even going to poke the bear, you know?
I don't think they have to.
No.
I will find out. Yeah. I've got, by the way, for those of you watching on YouTube, there's my popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Got my popcorn.
You're
I got
set.
My coffee that's spiked because this is a party.
I have my my little THC cocktail over here.
There you go.
All right.
Might need it to get through this because, again, she's not an attorney and she's nuts.
This is going to be good. Here we go, everybody. Buckle up. This is the main event as Lori Vallow Daybell begins her role as her attorney in her trial. Let's see her stunning debut. Here we go.
Oh, her hair looks good. Yeah, they let them have curling irons in jail?
No, it's toilet paper rollers, I believe.
Here we go. I am in charge of the crime. A serious crime. And the only question here is, did I commit this crime? Conspiracy. Conspiracy is an agreement between two or more people to commit a crime. Okay. There has to be an agreement. There has to be a plan. The evidence in this case will show that Charles Vallow and I got married in February 2006. It will show that it was my fourth marriage and Charles' third marriage.
This is reading from Wikipedia.
At that time, we each had two children. I had Colby, who was 9, and Tylee, who was 3. Charles had Cole, who was also 9, and Zach, who was 7. The evidence will show that our family moved from Austin, Texas, to Chandler, Arizona in 2009. The evidence will show that Charles and I adopted our great-nephew, JJ, who was born in 2012. It will also show that Charles and I were married for over 13 years and were raising 5 children. The evidence will show that I was a licensed cosmetologist and worked as a hairstylist for 20 years while we lived in Austin, Texas. The evidence will show that Charles was a licensed life insurance salesman and worked as an independent contractor.
She's reading Wikipedia.
Policies and annuities and owned his own business. The evidence will show that Charles and I purchased
the evidence
life
will show.
Policies
Stop.
Early in our marriage, and Charles had them issued to the maximum amount possible to each of us. The evidence will show that Charles was 17 years older than me, and that because of Charles' age and an issue that he had with high blood pressure, the maximum amount of life insurance that could be approved for Charles was $1 million. The maximum amount of life insurance that I could be approved for because of my age and my health was $2 million.
Did you hear that vigor in her voice?
Show that throughout our 13-year marriage that we always had life insurance policies. When a 10-year policy lapsed, Charles would shop for another company who would approve us for the maximum amount of life insurance.
What is she even doing?
The evidence will show that this was Charles' job. This is what he did. I helped him in this business, and this is what he did.
They went out for pancakes every Thursday.
In 2016, Charles repurchased a new $2 million life insurance policy on me, and he was the sole beneficiary.
Let's see what Belle thinks.
The evidence will show that Charles and I had a happy marriage for 13 years. That he was, in fact, a baseball player, and that he played high school, college ball, and triple-A ball. And that he was, in fact, a left-handed pitcher, a southpaw, they call him. But he was a right-handed batter. As could be attested to by anybody who knew Charles well and his high school baseball coach, Greg Davis. The evidence will show that Tylee was, in 2014, our family moved from Chandler, Arizona to Kauai, Hawaii. We lived there for 3.5 years and returned to Chandler in 2017. The evidence will show that Tylee was 3 years old when Charles and I got married, and that when she became a teenager, the relationship between Tylee and her stepfather, Charles, became so difficult that Tylee and Charles had to seek a therapist, a family therapist, to stop them from fighting. The evidence will show that together, Charles and Tylee met with this therapist after we moved back to the mainland in 2017. The evidence will show that in April of 2018, Tylee's biological father passed away from a heart attack. And at that time, Charles called Social Security and made an appointment at the Social Security office.
I'm going to object to hearsay.
Sustain.
Wait, what? What happened?
It will show hearsay. That we did get Social Security for Tylee for her deceased father until she was 18 years old, and she was 15 years old at the time. The evidence will show that Charles and Tylee's fighting increased greatly in January of 2019 when Charles and I temporarily separated. The evidence will show that several people witnessed these terrible arguments between Tylee and Charles that increased to physical in 2019. Charles and Tylee had major increasing arguments, two in February of 2019, one of March in 2019, which was captured on video, one in May of 2019,
video.
One in June of 2019, and then the worst of all in July 2019. The evidence will show that in March of 2019, Charles pulled JJ out of his special school and moved him to Houston, Texas, while we were temporarily separated. Tylee and I then joined Charles and JJ in Texas in April 2019 to reconcile. The evidence will show that JJ was diagnosed with severe autism when he was 3 years old while we lived in Hawaii. The evidence will show that for 2 years, JJ was attending a school in Gilbert, Arizona, a special school for children with autism. It's called Lawrence Life Academy. The evidence will show that in June of 2019, in JJ's best interest, Tylee, JJ, and I moved back to Chandler, Arizona to re-enroll JJ back in Lauren's Life Academy since he had a difficult time with the Houston, Texas schools with no services for his autism.
She's introducing her kids into the case and she doesn't need to.
It was in JJ's best interest to be in school where more services were available to him, so Charles and I rented a house here in Chandler. On the day in question, July 11th, 2019, Charles and I were renting two houses, one in Houston, Texas, where he mainly resided, and one in Chandler, Arizona, where I resided with our two minor children, Tylee and JJ. By this time, our three older boys, Colby, Cole, and Zach, were adults and not living at home any longer. The evidence will show that during the months of June and July, that my husband, Charles Vallow, began to send me threatening text messages. These messages were seen by my sister, Summer, and that worried her.
Another legit person.
The evidence will show that Charles insisted on flying into Phoenix on July 10th, as we've heard from the state. The evidence will show that I advised Charles that he could not stay with us at the Chandler house because he could not get along with Tylee, and I did not want them to get into another fight like they had 3 weeks prior. The evidence will show that it was ultimately decided between Charles and I on text messages that he would stay in a hotel because he traveled for business all the time and stayed in hotels all the time, and that I would book it for him since I worked for him and booked all of his travel. The evidence will show that Charles did, in fact, fly into Phoenix on Wednesday, July 10th, and stayed in the hotel that I booked for him. The evidence will show that Charles paid to fly my brother Adam Cox into Phoenix from Kansas on the same day, Wednesday, July 10th, 2019. The evidence will show that Charles planned to come to our Chandler home and pick up JJ and drive him to school on Thursday morning, July 11th, 2019. The evidence will also show you that Lauren's Life Academy opens its gates at 8:25 a.m. in the morning. And the evidence will show that Charles showed up at our Chandler residence around 7:30 in the rental car I booked for him on the morning of Thursday, July 11th, 2019.
Lost the point here.
Will show that Charles began texting with my brother, Adam Cox, before he entered our residence. And that Charles and Adam were discussing in their text communications that my other brother, Alex Cox, was at the residence. The evidence will show that on the morning of July 11th, that Tylee was asleep in her room and my brother Alex was asleep in the guest room. The evidence will show that when Charles entered the house, only JJ and I were awake and present.
What's that?
The evidence going to show that.
Show that after we put JJ in the rental car, that Charles came back into the residence to receive his phone, leaving JJ in the front seat of the rental car with the engine running. He was 7 years old. The evidence will show that Charles began to scream at me when I refused to hand him his phone. The evidence will show that Charles' screaming woke up Tylee and Alex.
She's crying?
The evidence will show that Tylee came out of the room with a bat to protect me, her mother.
No, she's not. She's just like up and down.
The evidence will show that Tylee and Charles fought over the bat. And that after a struggle over the bat, Tylee fell onto the ground. And Charles lifted up the bat to hit Tylee with the bat. The evidence will show that Alex then intervened to protect Tylee from being hit with the bat.
This is a story
now. He did not have a gun. He was not wearing a shirt. He was pulling up his jeans because he just woke up and came into the room where he heard the screaming. The evidence will show that Alex and Charles got into a physical struggle for the bat and fell onto the ground. The evidence will show that Tylee, who was on the ground, was lifted up by me and sent outside to get away from the struggle and to protect JJ, who was still in the running car, in the rental car, in the driveway. The evidence will show that after this struggle on the ground between Charles and Alex, that Charles prevailed with the bat and began to come towards me with the bat as I ran away from him into the kitchen. The evidence will show that at some point while I was running away from Charles, who was chasing me with the bat, that Alex apparently retrieved his gun. The evidence will show that I ran outside to the children and that Alex shot Charles in self-defense. The evidence will show that Tylee and I had both run outside without shoes. The evidence will show that JJ was still in the front seat of the rental car with the engine running and struggling to get out of the car. Tylee was trying to keep him in. The evidence will show that Tylee and I got into the rental car with JJ and drove away. The evidence will show you that I drove the children away from the residence towards JJ's school.
Now she's crying. She's getting very emotional. This is...
She allegedly killed her kids.
This is, I think we're seeing the just how she can turn it on and turn it off as she wants in ways we have not before.
The evidence will show that I drove the children through the Burger King drive-thru that Charles had promised JJ.
He's dead. Let's go get Burger King.
Evidence will show that we continued to drive towards JJ's school and that the gate was not yet open at JJ's school. So we drove a block west of the school to a Walgreens where I ran in to purchase flip-flops for JJ, for Tylee and myself so that we could walk JJ into school on the hot pavement.
Like you do. Because that's what you're worried about.
The evidence will show that Tylee and I returned directly to our residence where we met with police in our driveway. The evidence will show that we were spoken to by the Chandler police officers. And the evidence will show that Tylee and I were told by the Chandler police detectives that Charles had passed away.
I wonder how religious-y she's going to get
show
on this.
That we were put into a police van and driven to the Chandler Police Department.
Or is this going to be her the whole time, like
the
a totally different
will show
person?
That Alex was taken by police in a police car to the Chandler Police Department. And that we were all three separated into interrogation rooms and we were each interviewed. The evidence will show that next, Tylee and I need her were to brought stop back saying together that. Into a room at the Chandler Police Department. And
make it a drinking game. The evidence will show.
Well, I'd be shit-faced by now.
I'd be dead.
The evidence will show that after speaking to the victim's advocate, Tylee, Alex, and myself.
I think she thinks it's like Jeopardy. We're like, you have to like begin every sentence with it.
Yeah.
We were directed by the Chandler detectives to take the rental car and return later to the residence after we picked up JJ from school.
She saw it once on Law and Order.
Evidence will show that we did as instructed by the Chandler detectives. The evidence will show that we drove to Alex's residence where we attended to the wound on the back of his head. The evidence will show that Alex was then contacted by the Chandler detectives to return to the residence so that Alex could walk them through the events that occurred with the detectives at the residence. The evidence will show that Alex, Tylee, and I did return to the residence as instructed. And the evidence will show that Alex entered into the residence with Detective Moffitt, but that Tylee and I were met by Detective England in the front yard. The evidence will show that at the time, Detective Inkland asked Tylee and myself if we had Charles' cell phone. Tylee retrieved Charles' cell phone from the rental car and gave it to Detective Inkland at 3:11 p.m. on July 11th, 2019. And at that time, Charles' phone was placed in the custody of Chandler Police detectives. The evidence will show that Detective Inkland asked us if we knew the passcode on Charles' phone, which Tylee proceeded to give to Detective Inkland. The evidence will show that Tylee and I left the residence to pick up JJ from school, while Alex remained at the residence with the detectives. The evidence will show that by the time Tylee, JJ, and I returned to the residence, that all police, EMS, CSI, and detectives were gone from the residence and only Alex remained. The evidence will show that the next day, I contacted Chandler Police to inform them that Charles' belongings were still at the hotel. I asked the detective if I should go get them, and I was told that they would take care of it. The evidence will show that I asked the detectives, what should we do next? And they directed us that they would contact us in about 3 weeks after their supervisor passed off their reports and Alex could go to the police station and retrieve his gun. The evidence will show that the last thing I heard from Chandler Police Department until June of 2021, 2 years later, when I received a grand jury indictment from them for this alleged crime. The evidence will show that Chandler Police treated this incident as self-defense.
And object to that?
Objection sustained. The jury should disregard that last statement.
The evidence will show you that my brother, Alex Cox, passed away on December 12th, 2019, almost exactly 5 months to the day after Charles, my husband, passed away. The evidence will show that Alex passed away from a blood clot in his lung.
Objection again.
I'll sustain the objection. It's not relevant for this matter.
The evidence will show you that I am the only person being charged with this crime.
I'm going to object to the relevance of that.
Sustain.
Everyone's dead.
As the state has mentioned, they're alleging that insurance money was my motive. Social Security was my motive. Spouses having insurance policies is not a crime. Collecting Social Security is not a crime. Self-defense is not a crime. A family tragedy is not a crime. It's a tragedy. Thank you.
Brought on by who?
All right, the state can call its first witness.
So that's, she did an interview the other day, and she was talking about, because she can only answer so many questions, and she was saying that It was a family tragedy. Like that's as far as she went. And I found that interesting. Like, okay, so is that what she's just saying today and then tomorrow it's something else? But that was the angle that she stuck with, that it's the family tragedy angle, apparently, where all of this just went horribly wrong. And what did you think?
Well, you heard my commentary as she was going along. There has to be a bit of showmanship, I guess would be the word I want to use.
Yeah.
When you are starting off a case, it's something, if you ever watched L.A. Law, if you ever watched Ally McBeal, you know, I'm going,
Moonlighting.
Yes, I'm going way back.
Yeah.
When you are addressing this jury, you need to put on the best show possible. Mm-hmm. You need to present this case as though it were a play, you know? And I would have gotten up in the first 5 minutes and walked out of this play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the writing was terrible. It was repetitive.
It was
monotonous. There was no plot. It meandered back and forth and didn't go anywhere.
It sounded at first she's like reading the Wikipedia entry. Like, the evidence will show, like, this isn't like nobody's arguing these facts of life. Like, that's not how you use that term of the evidence will show when it's, you don't need, it's just there. It's not in question.
Yeah. I was not impressed. I think this is going to be a shit show. It already is a shit show.
I think she did better than I expected, honestly. I expected it to be really, really short. That went a lot longer than I was expecting. And I expected it to be something like intermingling more of her religion, where there was going to be something in there about that. But we didn't hear any of that. And I feel like this is a different Lori we're hearing than we've had in the past. And I think it speaks to, you know, her nature of whatever the hell she's got going on in her head, how she can manipulate people, how she can kind of turn it on and turn it off. And I kind of thought, well, I don't know that she has that ability anymore because she always sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I think we may be surprised here that we may see a more competent Lori than we've seen in some other moments. I don't know. I know she already had the judge and, like, you know, objecting and this and that, but it's to be expected when you're representing yourself. I'm surprised there wasn't more, honestly.
True. I was reading from the East Idaho News website that Lori is wearing the rack belt under her clothes, and there are two armed deputies within 10 feet of the defense table. She is not in handcuffs or ankle shackles. And if something should go wrong, the deputies push a button and the rack belt will shock her.
It's a lot like that animation I had last week. Yeah.
Is life imitating art or art imitating life?
Yeah, well, that's what's going to happen there.
I honestly, I have a hard time with shock collars for dogs.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it there. I'm okay with her having the belt on.
I've had a shock collar for the dogs, but it does like shock and it does vibrate and it does beep. And I've only like had to use the shock like once or twice where it was like going like up towards the road or something in a situation where it's like, I'm not just going to beep this. But most of the time I just use the vibrate and then that.
Yeah, it gets their attention. It gets their attention. Dogs are smart enough that,
Eventually the beep. It will, you know, and you just kind of work your way to the beep, but you don't always have to go to the super high one unless like that's like emergency.
Right.
But I've also found on some dogs, like where I thought it was like, okay, they can't even feel the damn shock because of all the fur. So at the end of the day, I think the buzz is the one that works best. I don't know how we got onto that, but
all of the shocking Lori.
Oh yeah. Shocking Lori. Yes.
I'd hate to see them fall on the button by accident.
Whoops. Sorry, Lori.
She's not going to lose her shit and do something. She's not going to, you know, become psychotic. I don't think, well.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to rule anything out here, but I am very surprised at what we have seen thus far.
You're giving her a lot more grace than I am.
I think my bar was different or something. I don't know. I really was expecting just shit, like just meandering, insane shit. what would she was state? She didn't say anything really insane. She said things that were inaccurate, but they weren't insane. So that's
when does religion come into this? That's what I'd like to know. When is she going to bring that part in?
No.
Because that played a huge role in this entire case.
Yeah.
So when is she going to bring that up? I'm really surprised that she didn't pull that in somewhere, because if that's what she believed and that was what caused these actions to take place, why wouldn't she bring that up?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Is she trying to hide that from the jury now for some reason?
I think she is. I think she thinks she's going to play this... I think she's going to slip up and it's going to get in there, or it is just, it's going to be in there. But if she's, I feel like it's a different Lori.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she's turning it on. She's being her chameleon self, where she can just weave into whatever. And I think that's what we're seeing here.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a very different Lori based on what we saw thus far. I don't think it's going to make a lot of sense. But I think it's not going to, I don't know. I don't know it's going to be as out there into, you know, la-la land as I thought it would be. Despite the opening arguments, because she didn't introduce anything loony in there.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing. I was hoping it would be a little more off the rails.
Yeah, well, I'm...
It's boring as hell. I'm going to give you that.
It's going to be, yeah, but this is going to be good. I'm excited to watch this. I'm curious to see her try and cross-examine people. That's going to be fun. So we'll bring you the highlights of this stuff from day to day as it goes on. And if you want the full audio of the case, you can get it on our podcast channels. So if you're on YouTube, you want to check out the podcast, you can listen to all the same videos that we have here on the podcast channel. You can get that anywhere you download podcasts, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi or True Crime Today. All right. Well, I'm excited to see what else is in this trial today. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. There you go.
There you go.
And Karen Reed also. That's, we're still our jury selection still there.
Yeah, jury selection. As of the recording time of this, which is Monday afternoon, they still had not seated somebody. They are stuck currently on Monday afternoon at 10 people.
How many do they need in this one?
16, I thought.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that. I'm sorry if I am.
Every state has different and different jurisdictions, and I don't.
I thought it was 16 for this one.
Because there was one recently where it was like something like 8 or so. It was a weird number. I forgot what one it was. Was it the Alec Baldwin? Was it that one?
Oh, that might have been it.
That had a weird number of jurors, a weirdly small number of jurors, and it was like, oh, that's interesting.
I do think they might have lost a juror today in the Daybell trial, because I think somebody had a conflict with work. They're being compensated, I think, $300 a day is what I read.
Okay. Well, the judge at the very beginning said, in juror number whatever, I need to talk to you. So I wonder if that's what's going on.
Yeah, they're
there.
Claiming that this is going to be a financial hardship for them to be away from work.
Yeah,
so
well,
I'm not sure if they were released or not, but they have alternates. So
yeah, well, that's why you got those. This is buckle up. It's about to get really interesting.
The latest true crime stories, expert breakdowns, and shocking twists all in one place. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. The mansion was pristine, gleaming marble floors, priceless art, not a speck of dust in sight. But beneath all that luxury, secrets, dark ones, the kind that send a chill down your spine when you realize someone's watching. And the housekeeper, she saw everything, the late night visitors, the missing jewelry, the glass of wine that was only half finished before she disappeared. Some say the husband was heartbroken. Others say he was just waiting for the insurance check to clear. But if she had just been prepared, if she had just known the patterns of these kinds of crimes, if she had only subscribed to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where she could listen to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, ad-free, and before everyone else, she could have gotten out. Instead, well, Let's just say her final paycheck is still sitting in the mailroom. Don't make the same mistake. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.